And I'm glad He is the same God. You know, some people will try to convince you that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament is somehow are completely different. And that's ridiculous. It's the same. You know, a lot of times people say, well, there's such a difference in how people were saved in the Old Testament versus New. Really, it's not a whole lot of a difference. Maybe they didn't know who Jesus was before Jesus came. They didn't know His name before He came. But they were looking down for a promise. They were looking for a sacrifice that would come, a Messiah that would come. You know, a lot of those feasts and a lot of those things were pointing towards Jesus. And it took faith for them to believe that just because the blood was shed of a lamb, that it would take away their sins for a year, right? The same faith it would take is the same faith that took me and you to trust in Jesus Christ, that trusting in His blood would forgive us for our sins. It's the same God. We just know a little more than they do today. So I'm so thankful for that. That's why we can go into Genesis chapter 26 tonight. And I'm going to start in verse 12. We're just going to read a couple verses about Isaac. So Genesis 26:12, it says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his servants, his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word tonight. We thank You for its truth. Lord, I ask that You'd use me. Lord, help me to preach this message tonight. Lord, I ask that You would fill my mind with the thoughts of what You put on my heart. And Lord, I ask that You'd fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Help us to hear what You have for us tonight. Lord, please take away the distraction and the tiredness. And Lord, help keep our ears and our minds attentive to Your Word and Your Spirit tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. So we see in the beginning of the chapter 26, we didn't read this, but the first verse, it said that there was a famine in the land. So a famine hit, just like it hit when Isaac's father Abraham came into the promised land. The same thing had happened. A famine came, but this time in verse 2, God specifically told Isaac, He said, don't go down to Egypt. Remember, Abraham decided on his own he would go to Egypt to escape the famine. And God never told him. I can't find where God ever told Abraham to go to Egypt. You know, sometimes we panic. We follow God's will. We walk by faith. And all of a sudden something goes wrong. You know, it doesn't look as safe anymore. It doesn't look as good or as easy as it was. And then we go to try to escape to the world to try to take care of us. And I am here to tell you, the world can't take care of you like our God can take care of you. He did not save our soul to leave us by ourselves. He filled us with the Holy Spirit. He daily loadeth us with benefits. He is watching over us. He loves us. He knows how to take care of His own. And He knows when He sends you somewhere, He sends you there for a purpose. So God told him not to go. So he stays there in that area in Gerar. And so during the famine, we see something. See, in Abraham's life, we don't know what would have happened had Abraham stayed in the promised land during the famine. But we know in Isaac's life what happens. You see in verse 12, what's God start doing? He sows in the land and he receives a hundredfold. That sounds good to me, doesn't it? I don't know a whole lot about farming, but I tell you what, you plant one seed in the ground and get 100 crops out of it, that sounds pretty good to me. And that's exactly what's happening. God is multiplying what Isaac is doing. We see a hundredfold harvest. And then after explaining that, he says, and the Lord blessed him. So he is blessing him in many, many different ways. You know, The skeptic will say, well, Mike, but Abraham also left Egypt and he had a lot of flocks and herds and servants. But then I would remind you, the whole time that Abraham was in Egypt, he did not hear from God. And I don't know about you, if I'm going to pick a lot of stuff, I want to be at the place where I can have stuff and hear from God. Because the stuff will corrupt. The stuff will get old. I tell you what, you get a bunch of things. You've got to insure it. You got to pay taxes on it. You got to take care of it. You got to do all these things. And I got a lawnmower stuck out in the yard for the last I don't know how long. It's not blessing me right now. Right? I want God where I'm at. I don't know about you. I want to be in the place where God's talking to me. God's helping me. He is leading me. And that's where Isaac was. The devil wants us to believe that the world is the only place where we can find safety and sustenance and satisfaction. But that's a lie. We don't need this world. We don't need its riches. We can find greater blessings. That's what the devil's trying to convince you. If you would just leave God's will, you can find better opportunities and better blessings. But I am here to tell you, our God can give you more than this world could even contain.
Amen.
So it said Isaac became not just a great man, but it says in verse 13, he became a very great man, a rich man. And God is providing for him. And you know, at the end, instead of those around him, see, they saw him. They saw God blessing Isaac around him. You know that when we do what God wants us to do and we live a life according to God's will and we live differently than this world and God blesses us, this world sees that. And that's what we see right here. They saw exactly what was happening in his life. But instead of being happy for Isaac that he was getting the blessings of God, it says the Philistines envied him. They envied him. Now remember, jealousy is when somebody wants what somebody else has. That's jealousy. I want your stuff. Envy is pretty close. But what envy is I want to be somebody else. So you look at somebody else and see how they're getting blessed or whatever, and you say, I want to be him. I wish I could have their life. I wish that, you know, God, and sometimes we even do this as Christians. We look at somebody's life and say, man, I wish I could preach like him. I wish God would bless my family like them. I wish I could have a church like that. Does that make sense? That's envy. The Philistines envied him because of God's blessing. They didn't want Isaac's servants or cattle or harvest. They wanted to be Isaac. And that's a sad state when you get to the point where you're not satisfied with your own life and you want somebody else's life. I'm here to tell you, God's made you who you are. He's put you where He wants you to be. He's given you what He wants you to have. And we need to be satisfied with that. And not be and not tear ourselves up because of what we don't have that somebody else has, including somebody's life that we want. We need to be happy with the life that we're given. I'm here to tell you the devil always wants you to be dissatisfied. He always wants you to want more than what you have today, whether it's physical things or emotional things or relationship things. He always wants you to be unsatisfied. And we serve a God that we can be satisfied in, because the state that you're in a lot of times is temporary. We get so worried about things, and I'm here to tell you, if the Lord came back as we're asleep tonight, if He took us to heaven, a lot of those things we're unsatisfied about and wish we had, we won't care about anyway.
Amen.
We're not this world.
Amen.
But you know what the problem is? Every single advertisement is trying to eat away at what God wants us to be. God wants us to be satisfied. Every single advertisement wants you to buy something.
Yeah.
And wants you to feel like you can't live without it.
Yeah.
Remember, this world's fighting against us. So the Philistines, they had occupied, this is the promised land area. But instead of being in the promised land because they had found redemption through the blood and believed in the promises of God, they decided to settle in a place that they didn't belong. Right? The promised land didn't belong to the Philistines. Right? They're always just, what they're doing now is they're just being an enemy to the true people of God. They're trying to hinder. They're trying to aggravate. They're trying to do all those things. And you know what's sad is that God is a merciful God, isn't He?
Yes.
And even though they're Gentiles, the Philistines were Gentiles. They couldn't have become Jews. They couldn't have become sons of Isaac or Abraham. But what they could have done is exactly the same thing that Ruth the Moabitess woman did one day. She told Naomi, "I'm tired." She was done with her people. She was done with their false gods. And she said, "Where you go, I will go. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God." And she left it all behind. And God blessed her. And she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. They could have done that too. I get so tired of people acting like, again, that the God of the Old Testament is different. No, He had mercy back then too. You know what you had to do? You had to leave the old ways. You had to leave the old religion. You had to leave the old falseness. You had to leave the old wickedness and walk by faith. Same thing today. Same thing. But instead, they didn't want to do that. They just wanted to camp out there and be a persistent enemy. They envied Him. And we find out, you know what else they could have done? They wanted a blessing from God. You know what would have been the easiest thing just to get a blessing from God? They could have blessed Isaac, right? Because
yeah.
God promised Abraham, "If they bless you, I'll bless them." But instead they envied Him. And then verse 15, instead of blessing, it says, "For all the wells which his father," this is talking about Abraham's servants, "had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth." So Abraham had taken the time and energy and resources to dig different wells throughout the land. And that would have been, in those days in the desert, it would have been a source of life. It would have brought not only refreshment, but you could have had animals, you could have had people living around it. In this desert area, wells were so needed, and they would have helped the people around. And you know, they're so valuable, even in those days. But then you fast forward to the New Testament, where there Jesus is sitting at a well. And what does He say in John 4:13 and 14? Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this well shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Aren't you glad that Jesus is that ever flowing well that will quench your thirst? And like I said, He'll bring you into everlasting life. But you know what? They didn't want that. Just like people today, they don't want Jesus Christ. They see us getting blessed and it tears them to pieces. Right? Instead of coming to the well themselves, what do? They attack God. They attack God's people. What did the enemy do? Those wells that were so valuable, they got envious of God's people and God's blessing, so they filled them up with dirt. What's a well full of dirt? Worthless, isn't it? I don't know about you today, but there's an attack on Christian people. There's attack on churches. There's an attack on God's Word today. And you know what? They hate the fact that God has shown mercy. God has blessed us. God has helped us. And God has given us a new life. And they hate that. They would rather bury Jesus, bury the Bible, bury our church, right? That's what they want. Maybe life will be better. And you think of how ridiculous that is. In those days, in the desert, they're around a well that would have helped them, that would have blessed them. And they said, "You know what? Just because one of God's people that He is blessing did that, I'm going to fill it up. So that way I can't enjoy it and nobody can."
Yeah.
You see that state of bitterness out in this world.
Right.
Bitter. God loves them. God's merciful. And instead, all they want to do is bulldoze it. Cover it over like a grave. It's so sad. Abraham and Isaac had been so gracious and merciful to the people in that land. But that land wanted them God. That wanted them gone. Wanted God gone. You know, that's how the devil works today.
Yeah.
He is so deceptive.
He has got people in this world convinced that this world would be better off if there wasn't a single Christian left. Right? There are people like that. And they are multiplying. They're growing. And you think about, if they got what they really wanted, and they will one day, there won't be a single Christian left at one point. When they get what they want, if they're still alive at that point, they're going to see just how much they needed us. Right?
Yeah.
It's so sad. All the prayers gone. All the love gone. What do you have left? I'm telling you what, with the church gone and with Christians gone, you're going to be left with a whole bunch of self-centered people that could care less about anything, and they'll be able to run amok entirely. You think this world will get better? No. Has it gotten any better lately? No. Ridiculous. That's what verse 16, Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." Just get out of here. Get out of here. It's sad. But look at verse. Let's go further down. So I want you to imagine. You're Isaac. You discovered that the Philistines had filled in the wells of dirt that your father Abraham had dug. That would have been so discouraging, depressing. All that hard work of the previous generation is now feels like it's completely lost. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Let's make it a little spiritual. Have you ever thought of that before? All the work that some of the previous generation put forward, it feels like it's lost, doesn't it? It feels like some of it is just gone. Like as if all of that has just fallen apart. Isaac could have sat there and he could have sought and he could have said, "It's never going to be the same again. We're never going to have the same revivals we used to. It's never going to be as good as it used to. People are never going to get saved as much as they used to." And I sometimes grow so tired of hearing that, and I just want to pull my hair out, what's left of it, and say, "Wait a second, has God changed? Has the Holy Spirit changed? Has the power of God's Word changed? Has Jesus Christ changed?" And the answer to all of those things is no. If we want to honestly look at ourselves and ask ourselves, why are we not seeing the same thing in the generation that we have today? It is not because of God. I can't look to God and say, "God, it's your fault." I can't. We have to look at ourselves. Something's crept in. And put dirt in the wells. I don't know if it was Isaac's fault or not. Doesn't matter. But now we're in the situation we're in. I don't know whose fault it is that we've gotten where we are today. But you know what? Who cares? It doesn't matter. We can't change the past. But you know what we can do? Just like Isaac did. He looked at those wells. He saw them filled with dirt and where nobody could use them and where nobody could get any water in them. And instead of sitting there and giving up, he said, "You know what we're going to do? I'm going to go to every single one. The exact same spot, and we're going to dig it out again." That's what he did. Before he dug a single new well, and before he went and did anything new, because he will dig some new ones later in the chapter, but he went back and he dug them out. And that would have been a lot of hard work, and that would again would have taken a lot of resources and time and everything. But he said, "You know what? It's worth it. We're going to do it again." You know what amazes me? Those wells, I don't know how many years they were filled with that dirt and not used. But I tell you one thing, the second all that dirt, the last bucket was pulled out of there, guess what happens? The water starts flowing again, and you can start using it again. And that's one of the amazing things about God, is that there the enemy has made gains. He's made gains in different areas over time. But I am here to tell you, I have seen some gains that the devil took years to make. I have seen them end just like that. When someone wakes up and says, "Wait a second, it's better at Father's house." And then all of a sudden they come back to Father's house. And then they get renewed again. And then they realize where they come from. I've seen it happen.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, it still can happen.
Amen.
It still can.
Sure.
But here's the problem. You know what the church is trying to do? We want the blessings of the world, and we want the blessings of God at the same time.
Great.
Right? Raise your brother.
We want both. We want to be blessed by the world. And to do that, you can't rock the world. You can't say, "Now don't do that. Don't live that way." Right? That's the problem. You know, this, they filled them. I love how the Bible, it doesn't say dirt. It says filled them with earth.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I thought about that and I prayed about it this afternoon. And I said, you know what that reminds me of? Using that word instead of dirt. Reminds me of something Jesus said in Mark 4:18 and 19. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." That sounds familiar, doesn't it? We're just the cares of the world. This world. So many things just come. And Jesus said it's like when that seed is sown, it falls among thorns, and it just can't get anywhere. Because everything gets choked out of it. And I look at that well with the earth in it as the same thing. So much world piled up on top of the well that it's not doing any good anymore. And the same thing can happen to your life and happen to my life. We can get so much of this world piled on top of us that we're not good for anything anymore. And it's sad because we're seeing it. I don't know about you. But if you're looking for some fresh water to flow into your soul, if you're looking for some things to move like they used to, sometimes we got to look inside and say, is there stuff we got to dig out and get rid of? Right?
Amen.
Is there some of the world we got to get rid of so that way it flows again? They're covered up with earth. They aren't producing anymore. But if we would take it out, there'd be big changes.
Yeah.
Can you remember a time in your life where you were completely obedient to God? Can you remember a time in your life where He was just using you in a powerful way? Do you remember a time in your life when you saw the fruits of what God wanted you to do?
Yeah.
Multiplied. Multiplied. Is it the same today? Because if it's not, if it hasn't grown, but it's diminished, that's a problem.
That people argue with me, what does backsliding mean? And this, that, and the other. It always makes me laugh when people say, well, we don't use the term backsliding. Well, you must not read the Bible because it's in there a whole bunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
The word's in there over and over again.
Amen. But I just give myself an easy test. If I can remember a time in my life in a certain area where I was closer to God, where I was more obedient, where I was more dedicated to prayer, where I was more dedicated to serving God, if there are times in my life, any time, where I can look back and I answer that question yes, then I've gone backwards. You can call it what you want. God wants us to get closer to Him.
Amen. Right.
He doesn't want us to back off. You know what we want? We want revival in this church. We're planning it. We're putting together singing, preaching, different things like that. We've got dates set aside on the calendar. But like we've said so many times, I just don't want events or meetings or things like that. I want true revival. But one of the things is the enemy's going to sneak in and he's going to throw dirt on things. He's going to spoil things. He's going to try to hinder things, whether in this church or in our life. And he'll try to, some of that dirt is the dirt of compromise that he tries to throw in. Or some other dirt is, you know, worldly thinking and worldly logic and planning and all that stuff. And then sinful habits is some more dirt that we throw on there. And all of this other stuff. But you know what Jesus told the church at Ephesus? In Revelation 2:4, He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou has left thy first love." It sounds pretty similar to me. If you let Jesus take the place that He once had, that means you're substituting the love you had for Him for something else. You know what Jesus said? Redig the well. You know how He said it in the next verse? "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place except thou repent."
Jesus warned him.
He said, listen, the path you're going, you need to fix it. You need to change.
Amen.
Or else, I'll remove the candlestick. I'd like to see a theologian dance around that one. You know what he's... In another spot, he said, repent or I will blot your name out of the book of life. And he gets even more specific.
Right.
I'm telling you what. I don't want to get anywhere near that. I want to be in revival. I want to be in blessings. I want to be where God wants me to be. And the enemy will throw dirt from time to time, but we just kick it right back out. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We have a choice today. Jeremiah 6:16, very familiar. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And I wish they would have done that. But that verse goes on. But they said, we will not walk therein. Jeremiah warned God's people. He said, listen, there's a way. You need to get back to it. There's a way that I've already put, and I've already told you what to do. You've got to get back to it.
Amen.
And you know what the problem is? It wasn't God's will that they wouldn't do it. He already told them what His will was. They decided, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that is sad. That's sad when you sit around and you listen. And I'm telling you, I know in this church and other churches around here, they are preaching the truth. They are the Holy Spirit's touching hearts. I've had to sit through services and say, my goodness, that's hitting me hard. But at the end, there's always a choice. You know, in those days, if they were disobedient to God's warnings and His commandments, God wasn't happy about it, right? He would send sickness. He would destroy their crops. He would send an enemy to take them captive, right? Oh, but today's all different, right? Totally different God. No, we're in the age of grace.
Yeah.
You know what that means? God's still mad about it, but He's not instantly judging like He used to.
Amen.
But don't think that He's not keeping a record of all of this.
Right.
And one day, the judgment will come. That's the only difference. He's delaying, long-suffering, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
God wants to send revival, but He's never going to do it if we're disobedient. If there's a well in your life that you've allowed to be covered up with dirt, choice is yours today. You can stare at it. You can give the remember wins. I remember when. I remember when. Who cares? What are you doing for God today? What are we doing for Him now? I'm certainly glad when you and I heard the gospel and we gave our life to the Lord, there wasn't a whole bunch of people saying the I remember wins. They were doing what God wanted to right then and there. That's what God's called us to do, the same thing. To have a burden for the lost. To preach the truth. To live the truth.
Yeah.
To live it. Soberly, righteously, godly. If there's something in your life you've got to dig out, God has one word for you. Repent.
Yeah. Amen.
I said it this morning. For a long time I thought repent meant, oh, I'm sorry, God. You know what repent means? You're going this way. You go this way. Right?
That's right.
I disobey God. I obey God.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
I did this thing that God told me not to do. I stopped doing that thing.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Tears are fine. You know what God's saying? I like the tears. I like your seriousness. Repent.
Yeah.
Turn around. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. We're going to get a song tonight.